I want to talk this morning about being seasoned with grace. You know, that person that you know that always seems to annoy you? They're probably not going out of your way, out of their way to annoy you. I mean, there might be some cases where you have that person that really, really, really just loves to push your buttons because they like the way you react when you push your buttons. You'll get those, you know. But for the most part, the situations that come up where people are annoying you. Okay, it doesn't happen to anybody but me. Got that. People are annoying you. They're not doing it out of meanness. They're not doing it to try and cause you trouble. It's just an outpouring of the fact that people are different. So, do we react? Guilty, first off, guilty. Do we react as though they're doing it on purpose?
No, they are.
Sometimes people are. Okay, I'm not saying no one ever does it on purpose. But I'm saying for the most part, that's not why people are annoying us. For the most part, there's just people are different. So how do we react to people that are different? Do we react by getting mad? Sometimes, yes, we do. I have had a interesting week. I've had this topic and this thought come up several times this week and even get reinforced and reinforced, and talking with Jerry this morning about different things that happened in the last couple of days. Seems like he's been being tested on the message before he had ever got out too. There's a family camping next to us. And they're from Connecticut, and they have never, ever, ever been camping before. They're having fun. They've got a rent-a-RV, and they had got to the campground, and they had a bunch of wood delivered for the fire pit. They're going to go start their fire with great big chunks of wood. Just throw it in there. I got a little bit, a couple strips, pieces of paper, and we're going to light this fire. That's not going to work. So I go over and help them out, and split some, had some dry wood, and was helping them split that. And one of the sons said, "Well, yeah, I was helping my friend split wood, so I know how to do this. So here, you know, let me use the hatchet and I'll split the wood." And I look over, and he's holding his hand on the top of the wood, and I'm like, "That's not going to be good. You need to be really, really careful with that." "Oh yes, I know. I'm being very careful. I am not doing anything hard." And all of a sudden, whack! He cuts into the meat of his thumb, and I'm like, "Oh, that's not good, Deb. We need a towel. Wrap it on there." Now they have a Class C RV, which is the one that's on a truck frame. So the father and one child are off at the store, and the mother and the other child, teenage boys, late teens, are there at the fire. So maybe we'll call 911. I'm like, "You're in the top of Vermont in the woods. It will be quicker for us to drive you to the hospital. Really, it'll be good." So sometimes you see a situation and you just know it is not going to work out well, and you try to warn somebody and they don't listen. Boy's fine. He's got a whole bunch of stitches, but he's fine. Family's so grateful for the help. Like, praise God. People sometimes get on our nerves just because there's a difference of the way we see things, a difference in the way we understand things. But we as believers, are we all believers? Okay. Okay, because if we're not, then that's a whole other sermon and we can go that way. But if we're all believers, recognize we're all called to be like Jesus. We're all called to show the love and grace and mercy of God. We're all called to be ambassadors of Christ in the world around us. In Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," all believers, the elect of God, That's us. Holy and beloved. Praise God. Starts with, put on tender mercies. Or, go out of your way to be nice to people. Oh, now you're getting hard, Pastor. What do we got to do that for? Show kindness and humility. Anybody have a problem with humility? Meekness, long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? Long-suffering, you means you be patient to the long past where you thought patience would have ended. It means you don't have an excuse to stop. So, for the people on the listening online, if you hear some commotion in the background, that's going to be because one of the guys just got smacked by his wife in the middle of the sermon. Okay. Just so you know what that commotion's going to be. Putting up with people long past the point. So when we find ourselves, when I find myself, and maybe it happens to you, maybe it doesn't, but when I find myself getting frustrated by somebody just because they see things differently, then I have to stop. I have to take a step back. I have to say, Lord, help me in this. You do too. Continuing on, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. See, he's already talking about forgiveness and humility and meekness and being kind to people and hasn't even got to love yet. In other words, there's still more that we can do to be a light to the people around us. Like, well, I've done everything I know to do. Okay, God will teach us. Okay, Lord, what else can I do? How else can I speak? How else can I be a light in the midst of this? What else can I do to be a blessing? But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. He has to throw in that "and be thankful" part. Isn't it enough I put up with these people? I have to be thankful for them too? But that's what we're called to do. We are called to show the grace and love and mercy of God in every situation. I don't always do that. Maybe you do. I don't. I find myself having to say, Lord, forgive me. I find myself having to ask my wife to forgive me. I find myself having to ask my boss to forgive me. Because I don't always show the grace and love and mercy of God. But if God is at work in us, if God is making a difference in our life, then we are changing from glory to glory. That means he didn't do a one-time, reach out, poof, you're perfect. That's not the way God worked in my life. Maybe it's the way he worked in yours. I don't think so. But it's not the way he worked in my life because he's changing us regularly. But part of changing regularly is recognizing a need for change. Several people have said, Dave Ramsey has quoted several people of saying, and I don't know who all they were, so I'm not going to try to completely credit it. But people change when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same. I want you to think about that for a minute. As we find the Holy Spirit nudging us to be more and more like Jesus, to be more and more forgiving, we get uncomfortable in not being forgiving and not being like Jesus. We get to the point where the pain of change becomes less than the pain of staying the same. I can't do the things I used to do anymore. I can't be the way I used to be anymore. I have to be different. I need God's grace and God's love and God's mercy working through me to be different, to show more and more and more of the love of Christ. Each and every day, in each and every situation. Because when people get on our nerves, And that person gets on your last nerve, and most of us have some of them. It's really revealing what's going on in our heart. That there are still areas of our heart, of our lives, that aren't yet surrendered to the grace and mercy and love of God. Because if I can be offended because of something somebody does to me, then I think more highly of myself than I ought. Because I'm more concerned about me than I am about God touching them. You see, because we are bought with a price, because we belong to Jesus, we are not our own. I tell people, heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. Our goal is to get other people to get there. Our goal is to be an influence in other people's life so that they come to know the God who has already done such wonderful things in ours. That's our goal. Heaven is our destination. God has already, Jesus' blood has already covered every last one of my sins. Everyone. Every one of yours. So for me to be offended by what somebody does to me means I haven't trusted God enough in that aspect of my life. Praise God. Something I can ask the Lord to change. No sense getting complacent when you recognize you're falling short, right? Praise God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Interesting word, name. In English, it is, quote, an appellation by which something is called. It's a title that we give something. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness Church in South Florida. And I can remember the battles then, and I've seen the battles even after I got up to Vermont with the local Pentecostal pastor arguing with the local Baptist pastor in the editorial pages of the local newspaper over which one was right about Scripture. The arguments when I was growing up was, how do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38? Or do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? From Matthew. And I can remember brothers and sisters, supposedly believers in Jesus Christ, arguing over this. Well, as I read the New Testament, I find out Paul was having to deal with people fighting about baptism way back then. The point being, if we are arguing about a translation into English and not taking a look at what the word actually says. Did you know that the word Shem in Hebrew, and I do not know the word in the Greek, but the word in Greek that is translated to English, both as name, both mean character, honor, and authority. So when we say that we are everything we do, we are doing in the name of Jesus, when it's just in English, an appellation by which something is called, a title. Yeah, I'm doing it in Jesus' name. As opposed to absorbing that and it being done in the character, honor, and authority of Jesus. How we show the love and grace and mercy of God. How we carry ourselves. How we act. How we let the Holy Spirit guide us. Which one shows grace and love and mercy to God? Which one represents God to the people around us? Doing it in a title or doing it from a changed heart? Ephesians 4:29-32. Paul again writing to a different church. Of course, the churches were supposed to share these letters all around. You know that, right? That's how we got the New Testament put together. These letters were circulated wildly. Widely, not wildly. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." I always find it interesting. Paul is talking to believers, and he says things like, "Let him who stole steal no more. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Stop arguing with the people around you. Have grace to, have grace and mercy to people. Paul was dealing with a lot of the same things we have today. There are churches where, if you're a member of this church, well, we saw it in the music. As we were going through the songs, we came across the song where somebody rather taking the old-time church song and wanted to stick in the own little flavor to boost their denomination. I'm like, really? Why do we do that? Because there's things that aren't surrendered in our hearts and in our lives. Being seasoned with grace means, first off, laying down the desire to promote ourselves and instead promote Jesus. Instead, recognize the things He has done. You know, a couple of years ago, Deb and I were at a conference in Pennsylvania. And a gentleman came to the conference, and he's wearing a t-shirt and jeans, got the biker wallet and the chain holding the wallet to the belt. His head from the top, the basically where your sideburns start, from here up was shaved. From here down was a beard down to here. The exposed skin was pretty much covered with tattoos. Okay. Come to find out, he is the pastor of the local bikers church, and they meet on Thursday because he can get bikers to come to a meeting on Thursday. He can't get them to come to a meeting on Sunday because that's when bikers are all off doing their fun runs and all doing their rides. So he has found a niche where he can go and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people and share how God has changed his life to people that I cannot reach. So when we see another church or another group and they are proclaiming the Word of God, let's encourage them and strengthen them and pray for them and ask God to move in miraculous ways in them. Because my Bible tells me that God is able to correct my doctrine. Does your Bible tell you that? And if you think any other thing, God is able to reveal even this unto you? Anybody ever had God correct your doctrine? Besides me? Anybody ever had God give you a revelation? And it's like, wait a minute, I've been doing this all wrong. We were at Deb, were you with me? You weren't with me for the 40-12. I was part of a group several years ago, and there were 40 Christians from all over New England that would gather together once a month and just pray for New England. It was the meetings were held all over the six New England states. And at the second to the last meeting, one of the ladies there, one of the female ministers, stood up and read the passage out of Ezekiel about the valley of dry bones, and talking about how as God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, they began coming together and bone to his bone. And then the flesh came on it, and the Holy Spirit came and breathed into him. Then he stood up an exceeding great army. And I just all of a sudden had a picture in my mind of the leg bone of a short person trying to fit into the skeleton of a tall person, and how that person would be lopsided. That person would not be fully functional. And I realized that God has us in places where we fit. God has us in places where we can contribute. God has us in places where we can grow together as a body. And that doesn't take anything at all away from some other place where people are coming together to grow in the body, to function as part of the army of God. See, the entire army was the army of God. But each individual soldier from this valley of dry bones, as the bones came together and began forming into these soldiers for the army of God, he put each bone in its proper place. There are places we don't fit in. That doesn't mean we don't fellowship. That doesn't mean we don't love. That means there's places where, you know, I'm from the South. Y'all might have picked that up. I don't have a lot of social graces. I did grow up in the Everglades. I carry on pretty well. But every once in a while, something comes up that reveals that you're not quite right, are you? I'm different. You're different. You are uniquely gifted by God for His plan and His purpose. And He will put you exactly where He wants you to be. But that doesn't take away from anybody else. Because God is at work in each and every one of us, and the whole body of Christ is strengthened by what every joint supplies. Your giftings, your special talents, your heart for people, your desire to pray, your knowledge of the Word, whatever it happens to be, your compassion for other people, your understanding for those who hurt, whatever it is that God is working in you is for a purpose to strengthen the entire body of Christ and to show God's love and grace to everyone around us. So remember, we started this with saying what happens when you get that person that's getting on your nerves, getting that person that just makes you want to sit on your hands so you don't hit them. Ever get anybody like that? Praise God, I don't do that so much anymore, but there have been times. I was not born in this pulpit, or any pulpit for that matter. But God is at work. Romans 12. Beginning with verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to anyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. When we worry about what people say or people do to us, it's a very, very natural thing. The problem is we're not called to be natural people. We're called to be supernatural people. We're not called to be just like everybody else. We are called to be examples of Jesus, who, when he was reviled, didn't revile back. When he was cursed, kept his mouth closed. When he was hit, when he was beaten, all of the things he went through, for a purpose, for a joy set before him, for an expectation of God's righteousness, for an expectation of the fulfillment of God's promise to the people. He was willing to go through that. Now, I don't think you'll find anybody that's convinced that it was pleasant when Jesus went through that. Horrifically painful. The Bible says his visage, his face was so marred that he could not be recognized. He went through that for us. Continuing on, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, the individual and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Again, interesting, Paul has to tell us this. You've been given gifts by God, use them. You have a heart of compassion, use it. You have the ability to sing, use it. You have the ability to share. You have the ability to help. You, whatever God has gifted you with and done in you, use it. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion for our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in the Spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And he goes on, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with them who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have a regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Paul is talking to believers. He's talking to us, telling us how we are to walk, telling us how we are to live, telling us how we are to act. We're to be kindly affectionate one to another. Comes on back to that person that gets on your nerves. If we assume the I am a computer tech for immigration. The operating agreements where we work include assume good intent, which means start with the mindset that the person is not being difficult because they know you hate it when they're difficult, but rather that there's something they don't understand and they don't quite know how to communicate that. If we assume that the people around us are not out to make our lives difficult, then we can have an attitude that seeks to find the need to begin meeting them at the point of that need. If, on the other hand, we assume that anytime somebody says something that disturbs us, that annoys us, that bothers us, that they're doing it on purpose, I don't know about you, but my heart's not set on helping him at that point. I'm pretty much starting the conversation annoyed. But that is not what we are called to do. Finally, Colossians 4, beginning with verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open us to a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Paul says, don't give up. Keep doing it. As you pray, expect God to move. As you pray, do it with an earnest expectation that God, who knows everything about us, who knows the end from the beginning, has told us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication make our requests known unto Him. The God who has called us into relationship with us, sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins that we might gain that spirit of adoption and call out to God, Abba, Father, my Daddy. Recognizing a relationship that was not there before Jesus came on the scene and was not there before Jesus came into our lives. That's what we are to share with the people around us. Understanding they don't have that relationship. The Bible tells us that the things of God are not understandable to those who don't know Him, because they are spiritually discerned. And if people are spiritually dead, they're not going to understand. But the Bible also says that no one can come to Jesus except the Father draw them. But one of the ways the Father draws people is by putting you and me in their path and let them see a difference. I don't understand what's going on, but I know this person's different. I don't understand what's going on, but this person is kind when everyone else is angry. I don't understand what's going on, but this person is nice, takes the time to explain things, takes the time to be kind, takes the time to be helpful, is generous. I don't understand. Why is this person different? And they begin asking, and God is touching and turning their hearts. The way we show the love of God is to first off recognize that when we are not showing the love of God, we are being disobedient. When we are getting upset at people, it's because there's an issue that we need to deal with. That we might recognize that the way we treat people has to show the grace and love and mercy that God has already showed us. To show the compassion that God has already shown us. To show the generosity, the love that God has already worked in us. Whatever God has given you, whatever your gifts are, whatever your callings are, God has a plan and purpose for it. And whatever things you've gone through in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, God doesn't waste anything. And through those bad things in our life, as God has brought healing, God will put other people in your life that you can share that healing. Whatever it is. Because we are not our own. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are calling us, Lord, into a deeper walk with you, into a closer walk with you, into more time in your spirit, into more understanding of who you are. You are calling us, Father, to show your love and grace and mercy to everyone we encounter. We thank you, Father, that you haven't given up on us. You haven't quit halfway. That you are still working in us, changing us from glory to glory. You are still working in us, working your righteousness in our heart and in our lives. That we can show it to the people around us, so we can display you, who you are, and your awesome power to everyone we encounter, just by being different, just by being kind, just by showing your love, just by seasoning our life with your grace. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.